Turn back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, I told him, those of you who are not here earlier, Paul Mahan will be here Thursday. I'm going to go and conduct my dad's funeral this week, so I won't be here. So Paul will be here and come out and give God's man a hearing. And you pray for me. Ephesians chapter 4. And one other thing, I keep forgetting this. After we sing the first hymnal, let's sit down on the second one from now on. Let's just, after we sing that first one, after that we'll sit and sing. All right, the lesson here is just as important. The message is just as important as the first three chapters. What we received in the first three chapters, the foundation of faith, the doctrine of grace. Now it's the walk of grace. It's the walk of grace. That'd be a good title for it, wouldn't it? The walk of grace. Sometimes I get the title when I start preaching. But I titled this, "You Have Not So Learned Christ." That's what Paul tells him. You have not so learned Christ. Now he says in verse 17, "This I say, therefore, he's reaching back to all that he has said. All that he's written. Because of all that he's written, and in light of all heavenly blessings being given to us in Christ before the foundation of the world, seeing that Jesus Christ has died for us, he has cleansed us by his blood, we have through him even the forgiveness of sins, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, we are saved by grace alone, born of God. Because of this, I testify in the Lord," or "I testify in the presence of Christ." Take this seriously, is what he's saying. Take this very seriously. Just as serious as you did the first chapter, you take this seriously. Paul has the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ with him. This is not a Pharisee speaking, but one who has tasted of the Lord and found him to be gracious. This is one who received all his teachings from the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is why we take it very seriously. This is from the Lord. And he says here in verse 17, "That you henceforth, from this time forward, walk not." That's the tenor of your life. This is your life. Your walk is your life. "Walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." He starts with the mind. I can't tell you how important it is to protect your mind. Protect what goes into it. Protect what you hear. Protect it. Keep it. What Paul's going to do here is give them and us the will of God for our daily lives. This is the will of God for the body of Christ upon this earth. Remember, we are the body of Christ. And this is the Lord's will for his body in walking on this earth. And another reason he gives this to us and to take this seriously is not only that we are the body of Christ, we are the representative of Christ on this earth, is this, that you're sealed with the Holy Spirit and don't grieve him. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. He says, don't grieve him by your walk. All right, now let's get into this. First thing I want to deal with is why believers cannot live as others do who believe not. Why we cannot walk as others walk. And Paul gives us these reasons. Well, the first reason is this. You are not the same as those who believe not. You used to be, but you're not no more. You were dead, he says. You were dead in trespasses and sins. You were, you're not now. You're not now. You are different. That's what he's saying. Now, listen to this. Paul is not teaching that we are trying to be something different. He's teaching that we are something different. We are different. That's what he's saying. The unbeliever lives according to the flesh, the dictates of the flesh. That's what he shows us in chapter 2. The believer lives after the Spirit. We live after the Spirit of God that indwells us. Look over in Romans chapter 8. Paul puts this so plainly and simply in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, let me get there. Now listen, I'm going to read the first 14 verses. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. You notice that's a capital S. We walk after the Spirit of God. For they that are after the flesh, they do mind. Their mind is consumed with the flesh. They do mind the things of the flesh, the dictates of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. There's no such thing as a carnally minded Christian. To be carnally minded is death. Now, Paul did say to the Corinthians, you act like a bunch of carnal men. He said, he's not saying you are. He said, you act like it. When he was writing to the Corinthians in that infant church in Christ. But to be carnally minded, he says, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh. You don't walk in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, That body of flesh is dead. It doesn't control you. It's not the king. At one time, it was the king. It dominated your thoughts, your mind. The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh. We're debtors to the grace of God, aren't we? For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's why he's saying here. That's why we can't walk after the flesh. We walk after the Spirit because you're not of the flesh. The unbeliever lives after the dictates of the flesh. The believer lives after the leadership and power of the Holy Spirit. The unbeliever lives in the vanity. He walks in the vanity of his mind. That's what he does. It starts in the mind. The believer has a new mind. He's spiritually minded. You mind the things of the Spirit. Now in verses 17 through 19, Paul brings before us the life, the results. The results of the mind, the mind of the unbeliever. Here's what it produces. And see, it starts with the mind. It starts with the vanity. He says the vanity of their mind. They have futile minds. Things of no real value. They put value on things that have no value. They put value on real. They would just be happy all the time. That's not possible. And the happy all the time that they think is in material things. It's in the things that they can buy, that money can buy. Money can't buy happiness. It can't do it. It might buy some temporal, fleshly joys for a while. There's pleasure in sin for a season, but every season has its end. There's pleasure in sin for a season, but that season is over with after a while. But they walk in the vanity of the mind, the futility of their mind, things that are not real value. They walk after power. They walk after riches. They walk after pleasure. And these things wind up empty. They're like soap bubbles. They burst. Short-lived. Haven't you found pleasure and happiness to be short-lived on this earth? In the flesh. When I was growing up, before I knew the gospel, before I knew the Lord, I would enjoy something and I wish I could enjoy it again, and it was gone. It was gone. And it brought no real joy. It brought no real joy. What is it? You know, here's what the natural mind wants. It wants a life that's void of trouble, has plenty of money. That's why they play the lottery. You play the lottery so you don't have to work. And you can play all the time. That's exactly why you play it. Someone said to me they'd like to win it one time. That they could, you know, help the gospel more. No, you won't. No, you won't. I guarantee you won't give any more in percentage-wise. You won't give any more than you do now. That majority we spend on a bigger house, two or three cars that you don't need, and it'll be spent on a lifestyle. It will, because it'll get you. It'll get a hold of you. It's one thing when God gives you the grace to handle money, but it's another thing when money handles you. Big difference. But the natural man, he wants these things. He wants that happiness, that plenty of money, that good health. Everything has to do with this life. I want God to forgive me. I want to grow in grace and in knowledge of Christ. I want to know that when I come to die, that all is well with my soul. And that's what's important. It is well with my soul. That's what I want to know. That's what I want to experience. These are other things the Lord will give me along the way. And He gives us their condition, that is their moral condition, because of their mind, because of the state of the mind. He says here in verse 18, having the understanding darkened. Their understanding is darkened. Their understanding of God, their understanding of life, their understanding of Christ, their understanding of sin. It's darkened. It's like if I turned all the lights out in here and it was nighttime out there and I turned all the lights out, you wouldn't be able to see anything in front of you. You wouldn't see it. It's not until the light is turned on that you can say, I see. I see. And Paul was saying, the life that you lived and the life that those whom you knew and grew up with, the life that they lived is a life of darkness. It's darkness. That's why your children don't understand you. When God saves a parent. Kids, my mom and dad, I thought they were just cruel. They didn't let me go to dances, parties, and I wanted to go to parties, you know. But I wanted to party all the time. But I thank God He gave me a father and a mother that didn't let me do that. It made me mad. But, you know, listen, I told my boys this one, they probably don't remember it, but I said, you don't have to love me, but you're going to have to respect me. I'm responsible for you. And I'm looking out for you. And you don't get it till you get older and you have your own. Having the understanding darkened. Sin has darkened their understanding. And our understanding before grace. By birth, everyone has no spiritual knowledge of God. We are born, and this is a tough word. This is an offensive word, ignorant. But I was ignorant. I was ignorant. Ignorant of God. Ignorant of truth. Ignorant of my real self. Ignorant. Their understanding darkness darkened. Now listen, if the understanding of the mind is darkened, guess what? Everything about your life is going to be darkened. Everything's going to be darkness. Everything. God said over in the Psalms, you thought I was altogether like yourselves. You think I'm like you. That's how you think of me. And our Lord said, if the light in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? If that light in you is darkness, how great? How great is that darkness? God is not the God of the Bible. He's not in their thoughts. They're ignorant of Him. They have a God of their imagination. And when we have a God of our imagination, Guess what kind of God we whittle out? One just like us. You can't whittle him out like anybody else. You don't know. You whittle him out like you think. This is how I think it ought to be. And that's how you whittle a God out. Well, the Bible tells us who he is. God is who he is. I am who I am. I mean, you can go out there and, you know, somebody that doesn't know me can go out there and say, John Chapman is 6 foot tall. And you know immediately he's lying. I'm 6'2". And that's an even bigger lie. No. You see what darkness does? Now, the person they told that, they would be totally ignorant, wouldn't they? I'll never forget this. Jason played Babe Ruth. When Jason played Babe Ruth, I was, you know, he was a good ball player. He could hit it out of the park. But there was a man, two men standing there when he was up to bat, and he was about the size he is now, at 13, 14. Didn't grow anymore like me. I was born this way. But there was two guys standing there, and they said, "Boy, I'd like to see his dad." I thought, "Boy, you'd be disappointed. I stand right behind him." I was standing right behind him, and I thought, "You'd be disappointed." They was expecting a dad 6'4" or something. No. You see what I'm talking about, ignorance? The importance of truth? It's important I tell the truth. Ignorance, and listen, let me get back here. Having the understanding darkened, and here's what it leads to. Here's what this darkened mind leads to. Being alienated from the life of God. The ignorance and the darkness that's in everyone by nature alienates them from the life of God. God doesn't alienate anybody from his life. They do. They do. I'm reading the truth to you. I'm reading the Bible to you. And to turn and walk away from it, you just alienated yourself from the life of God. You walked away from it. Christ said, "The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life." Don't walk away from it. But listen here. They're alienated, cut off. They're cut off from the life of God. How? From the ignorance that's in them. Because of the blindness, listen here, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness. Look over in my, and you might have this in your margin, I have it in mine, because of the hardness of their heart. There's so much hardness there, it's like you've got a barrier. And if God doesn't send it in power, you'll walk away from it. And I will too. I will too. Ignorance leads to alienation. People are willfully blind. People see not because they don't want to see. Christ said, "You will not come to me that you might have life." We have a will problem. Our will is not to come. Aren't you glad that salvation is of grace and that God's not leaving it up to you? I'm going to make that very clear at my dad's funeral. We are saved by the will of God. Not this Arminian, if Jesus wants to save you, if you will. Well, he and I both have a problem. Me and I both have a problem. I don't want to come to him, and I ain't going to let him save me, and he can't save me if I don't let him. Now we got a conundrum going on. No, we don't. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Blindness, willful blindness, leads to hardness. Then he says here in verse 19, who being past feeling, he's talking here about moral. Your moral compass is broken. They walked among a bunch of immoral people like we do today. Actually, you can just stamp America on this page right here. You can stamp America right here. This is where we're at in our country today. It's one of the most immoral countries on this earth. Past feeling, your moral compass is broken. It's broken. That's what Paul's telling them. That your friends that you grew up with, their morals are broken. They have calloused their conscience that God gave them. Their conscience is a preacher. I read that in somebody's bulletin. I think it's Donnie Bell's bulletin. The conscience is a preacher. It screams out to you right and wrong. And you've just ignored it. And in ignoring it, you've calloused it. As Paul said, you've seared it as with a hot iron. You don't feel what's right and wrong no more. Well, if it doesn't hurt anybody. I heard a man say this the other day in the store to another person. He said, well, if you don't get caught, it's not wrong. That's America today. He says, if you don't get caught, it's not wrong. Well, if God said it's wrong, it's wrong, whether you get caught or not. First and secondly, you just got caught. God caught you. You're caught and you don't even know. That's the worst place to be in. That's the worst. To be caught and not know it. Be deceived. That's be deceived and not know it. Well, if you're deceived, you wouldn't know it, would you? That's what deceived is. But being past feelings. And here's what happens. They've given themselves over unto lasciviousness. This is immoral conduct. This is homosexuality. That's exactly what he's talking about. You've given yourselves over to this. This is what happens when God leaves someone alone. Lord, don't leave me alone. Save me from myself. Save me from my sins. Because the people he's describing here was me at one time. It was me. Your past feeling, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. You know one of the worst, I've learned this because I've used it a lot. I don't care. That's one of the worst statements you can make. I don't care. That's becoming past feelings when you don't care no more. You don't say that about your children, do you? Well, I don't care about you no more. I don't care what you think. Well, I do care what they think. I do. It's not going to change my principles, my conduct and discipline of them. It's not going to change that. But I do care. But the past feeling given over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. To work it. Their past feeling, their sin has calloused the heart, the conscience, moral judgment's gone. Reprobates, you know what that is? That's void of judgment. You can't make a right moral judgment anymore. Given over to depraved desires. But then listen. Verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ. There's a difference between you now and them. There's a real difference. There's a living difference. You don't get that kind of life from Christ. You don't get that kind of life from grace. And what he's going to describe here now is for the body of Christ. It's the walk of grace for the body of Christ on this earth. But you have not so learned Christ. Being a believer is not learning different precepts or just to live by different precepts. Being a believer is learning of a person. I can't express that enough. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I like to do word studies when I preach because it helps me in preaching. But I try to be careful of this because, you know, everybody wants to go back to the Greeks where they were lost. They were lost. I tell you where I want to go back to, Jesus Christ. Lord, and I ask this, and you ask this, in your prayers, ask this, Lord, show me yourself. Moses says, Lord, show me your glory. Show me your glory. You know where the glory of God is seen? You know where it's seen? Paul said, in the face of Jesus Christ. That's where the glory of God's seen. You have not so learned of this person, Jesus Christ. You have not so learned of Him. And I want to tell you this. Learning of Christ never leads to sin. Learning of grace in Christ never leads to sin. Jesus Christ is a subject lesson. Jesus Christ is a holy lesson. And it's more than grasping truths. It's grasping Him. Oh, that I might know Him. The more you know Him, the better your walk will be. The more you grow in grace and in knowledge of Him. You know, it doesn't say grow in grace. It grow in grace and in knowledge. They go together. Now here in verse 21. If so be that you have heard Him and been taught by Him. Do you notice the phrasing of that? If so be you heard Him. If you heard the Lord, He's the teacher here. He's the teacher here this morning. If anyone here is truly instructed spiritually, Jesus Christ is your teacher. I'm the vessel. I'm the clay pot He's using. But He's the teacher. He's the teacher and He's the lesson. Have you heard Him? Are you hearing Him this morning? I hope you do. I hope I do. If so be, you've heard Him. Not just about Him. Not just some facts about Him, but you finally heard Him. Taught by Him as the truth. As the truth is in Jesus. We learn the truth. You know how we learn the truth? You know how you really learn the truth? Through the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We learn the truth through the truth. Christ is the truth. As the truth is nowhere else but in Jesus Christ. You won't find it in commentaries, although there's some good commentaries, and I read them. A few, not many, but I read them. But you're not going to learn the truth there. You're going to learn the truth in Christ. I learn the truth. Listen, I read the Bible. I read the Bible, I reckon, every day. But apart from Jesus Christ, I'm not going to learn anything. I'm not going to learn anything. He's the key of knowledge. He is. If so be you've heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off. That word put off here means deny. That you deny your former life. You remember Lot's wife? God brought life out of Sodom God brought Lot out of Sodom and his family. Told him to get out of there. And Lot's wife looked back. That doesn't mean God killed her because she turned around. Her heart was still in Sodom. Her heart was back there. Her heart was back there. You know, I was invited to a high school reunion. This is me. I said, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there and see who's doing what and who's doing who. I don't want to see that. It doesn't matter to me no more. My friends are you. My family's you. This is me. I have no desire to reach back and find those old acquaintances. I'm not being mean. I'm just saying my interest is not there no more. It's not there no more. See who's living, who's dead? God knows. My interest is you. It's God's family. I mean, how long would a conversation last between me and those who walk after the flesh? How long is that conversation going to last? Well, a good weather today, isn't it? I love the tent. It's just beautiful outside today. Well, what you been doing? I know what they've been doing. Been up to no good. Everybody that believes not is up to no good, I tell you. Deny your former life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. We're not used to denying ourselves, are we? I mean, our appetite's strong. And I learned, I know I've learned, it took me a while to learn it, but I've learned that my health is directly tied to what I eat. So is our spiritual health. I'm telling you the truth. Our spiritual health is tied to our spiritual diet. If most of what we watch and look and listen at through the week is of the world, if that's mostly it, that's what we're feeding that old man. And that's what Paul's saying here. That's what he's saying. Your former life. Don't feed the old man. He's too strong for you. There's a reason why they say don't feed the bears. Sooner or later, when you try to stop, it's going to eat you up. You're going to become the food. That old nature, that old man is deceitful. There's nothing wrong with this. It's so innocent looking. That's what Eve thought. That's what Satan made Eve think. Oh, he said, if you eat of that, you'll not die. You'll not die. You'll be like God. You'll be as God. Now, let me tell you something. I told somebody this yesterday. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be like God. I want to be holy, do you? I want to love like God loves. Here's the difference. There's a difference between being like God and being God. Man wants to be God. I'll be my own. What's that? Is it Invictus? I'll be the master of my own fate. That's being God. I'll be the one who makes the decisions. I'll be the one. That's what Satan wanted. Satan didn't want to be like God. He wanted to be God. If you'll fall down and worship me, that's wanting to be God. There's nothing wrong. I told this person, I said, there's absolutely nothing wrong with loving your neighbor as much as you love Jesus Christ. Just don't love him more. You love your children as much as you love Christ. You just don't love them more. You don't love them more. You deny that old man that's filled with that deceitful lust. The old nature promises pleasure, but eventually brings shame. The old nature promises freedom, but it eventually brings bondage. Don't be deceived. But listen what Paul says here in verse 23. Now, I'll move through this. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, Paul keeps going back to the mind. This is all related to the mind. You're spiritually minded. You have the mind of the Spirit. Be renewed constantly. This is constantly. Be constantly renewed in the way you think. You know, we ought to think more and more of our Lord now than we did when we began. We ought to think more and more of things above than we did when we began. And listen, and that you put on the new man, feed the new man, feed him. That you're doing right now. That's what's happening. You're feeding the new man. Feed him by reading the Word, feed him by prayer, feed him by sitting under the gospel, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying. Now, he's not talking here about lying to one another. You know, we're not going around lying to each other. He's talking here about to put away lying and speak every man the truth. See, look back in verse 14 and 15. This will explain it. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto edifying of itself in love. But speak the truth. That's what he's saying. Speak the truth with one another. Speak the truth. Tell the truth to one another. Speak the gospel to one another. For we are members of one another. You don't lie to yourself, do you? Someone gave this example. It'd be like my eyes lying to my feet. There's a snake laying in the road, and he says, no, they're not. Don't pay attention to that. You don't lie to yourself. My eyes said to the feet, don't go there. Don't go there. That's what it means. Speak to one another like that. Encourage one another like that. In truth. In truth. And then he says here in verse 26, be angry and sin not. He's not sinning against anger. I mean, he's not telling us not to be angry. We're made. God's angry with the wicked every day. But he says in one place, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. I looked this up. Sun sets at 6:48. So at 6:48, drop it. At 6:48, whatever you're angry about, drop it. And don't get up in the morning, pick it back up. That's what he's saying. Be angry, but sin not. You know, you can be angry at our government right now. You can be angry at the immorality, the things, the laws that our government's passed. You can be angry at that, but don't sin. Don't go out there and do something sinful against it. Be careful. Take it before the Lord. You know, I can be angry with sin and that, but he says sin not. Henry said this. I got this one from Henry. He said, you can be angry against the principles that our government is setting up, but you're not angry with the authority, that position of authority, because it's of God. And God will correct it in time. He'll correct it when it served his purpose. And listen, in verse 27, don't give the devil a place. Don't give him a place there in verse 27. And the first way we give a place is how? Anger. See, we get angry in our minds. We're angry at something. That begins in the mind. Every action begins with a thought, which begins in the mind. And the devil takes advantage of that. And he'll cause you to sin. He'll cause you to use that for an evil purpose. He said, don't you let the devil get a hold of that. Don't give him a reason for it. And verse 28, and still no more. There's a whole bunch of, God saves thieves too, you know. Don't steal. We all do. Oh, that gets your attention? Every person in this room is stolen. You ever steal time from your employer? I had a guy work for me. He used to get behind a machine and talk on his phone. He'd hide from me. Now, if I told him he was stealing, he would deny it. We steal time. You ever pick a pencil up from work that's not yours and just take it home and keep it? You know how strict God's law is. That's how strict God's law is. Be God's people. Here's what he's saying. God's people are honest people. Henry said this one time. He said, honest people don't go to hell. They don't go to hell because God saved them. That's why they're honest. To steal no more. Be honest with God and men. And listen, in verse 29, our words must match our calling, our actions. Let no corrupt communications come out of your mouth. Don't use your mouth for godly talk and for speak grace and to speak words in season. To speak a word in season. Your words edify or build up. They edify, build up, or break down. Let grace pour from your lips like it did your master's. And grieve not the Holy Spirit. Bad language. Speaking. Our conduct. Anger out of control. You know, the Holy Spirit is very real. He's very God. And he has feelings. He has feelings. It makes me very uncomfortable. It makes me very uncomfortable. And me and my brother one time, we went to play golf together. I know I'm taking a little long here, but we went to play golf together at one place. And they stuck us with two guys. They had to be a foursome because it was crowded. And boy, those guys right off the bat, he hit the first ball and they were mad because they messed up. Started cussing. Me and James were like, oh no, it's going to be long. And they just started cussing and carry on. And I thought, you know, I told James, I said, we shouldn't take bad golf so serious. I said, we're no good at it. It just keeps them mad, but they was cussing and carrying on. Well, we got about third, fourth hole, and we had to say something. Had to say something. I was miserable. You and I are sealed with the Holy Spirit. He's with us continually. For me to speak out of anger, that's uncomfortable for Him. That's very real. That's very real. And we need to read scriptures like this so it keeps that before us in our attention. I don't want to run with those people that carry on like that. And then I look in the mirror. I look in the mirror. I say, John, don't you be like that. Because you're sealed with us. You're sealed with God. God the Holy Spirit. And let all bitterness, sin, these are all sins of the flesh. Put a watch on your tongue. Bite your own tongue before it bites someone else's. Bite your own tongue first. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted. This is how you treat one another. This is how Christ treats us. And forgive one another as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Christ is the motive for everything we do. He's the motive. I'm not looking at a particular commandment and say, well, I got to do this. No. The very character of Christ is my motive. I want to be conformed to that. You have not so learned Christ. All right.